Hey everyone, this is episode 248, and on this episode, it is a three-way dance featuring Bender, myself, and Bombcast J. It was supposed to be four of us. Last minute, Thomas told us that he was sick, so we gave him a pass, because you never know when someone has the COVID, whether it's the Omicron, the Megatron, the Decepticon, whatever variant that's out there. So we let him off the hook. I don't think he has any of those, so that's kind of just a partial joke. But what we do have is an episode where we joke a little bit about how close to the edge of getting canceled we are, which... the jokes aren't that bad, but they are a little off color when it comes to racial sensitivities, but that's okay. We're a funny podcast, or we're a podcast that tries to be funny, regardless. The only shout out I've got before the episode starts is, in case you listen, this is, as this is released today, December 8th, it is one birthday to Big D, one of the couple-time guests, I think one-time guests. I think we scrapped the other time we had him on the episode, but yeah. One-time guest of the show, probably one of my favorite episodes because we got drunk and shared old stories and laughed constantly. But yeah, he turns the double four today, 44. He's a youngin'. He's almost a month and 6 days younger than I am, which puts us both younger than the flop, which she hates when I say that. So anyway, all of that said, the episode's starting, and that's going to be right after the bomb, which should be going off any minute now. Now!
I thought it was eczema,
don't,
and now they're
the
like
bar.
It might be.
Give me that.
Yeah. It's fine. I've had it for 2 years. You guys haven't gotten it yet. It's just gotten so bad that I can't. Like my hands
are falling
apart.
Is it not eczema?
They thought it was, but then they took like a scraping of it, and it's eczema and some sort of fungus on top of it. So
your cousin,
it's good fucking time.
Your cousin showed up to volleyball one night over the summer, and he had sort of a skin condition. Like shingles,
yeah.
Looked like that. It was on his side and stuff, and he ended up playing anyway. And he was like, "You want to see it?" I go, "Why the fuck would I ever want to see it?" Like, I don't want to see that. I wish you wore gloves.
Yeah, I mean, I took medicine a couple.
Come
months
on, Michael
ago,
Jackson.
Went away for a while, and then it came back like way fucking worse.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
So they think this antibiotics are gonna do it. What's step two? Amputation?
Yeah, I think so. I think I'm just gonna cut it off.
You'll be you'll go from Just John or Bender Only to host Nubbins.
Yeah.
I could get a chainsaw for it though.
Yeah.
Eight Finger Freddy. Switch my name.
I guess we can go ahead and start after talking about all your fungus.
Yeah,
we just
a good fucking time.
Jump right into it.
Yeah.
So,
sucks. I really want a beer though.
Yeah, we're gonna talk about that right now. So for those that don't know, this is the PC Bombcast, which you should know because you're listening to it. And what you don't know is that there's three of the four hosts here. One canceled, sort of last minute on us, but that does leave. Fungi John,
yeah,
and that's a double entendre. It can mean two things, and then also Bromcast J.
Hey,
yep.
I wrote out a whole little script for the episode, and but it's all around having four of us here. So now it doesn't really work.
You couldn't get your wife to come down?
No, God, no, no. She did one podcast in the last year, and that was the Halloween one.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Coincidentally, and you guys read this into this how you want, you weren't here.
Yeah.
But
if she can't be down here when we're here, we're not going to be down here when she is.
That's right.
That's right.
Maybe that's the we'll turn it.
Yep.
I'm turning it on you. It's like when I punish her, I won't have sex with you this week. Yeah.
It always works out.
Oh, man, I'm good at it.
Yeah.
I'm good at that punishment. speaking of punishment, though, I'm having my day 6 of the advent calendar. You are.
Yeah, I know. I had to stop at day 4.
So
day 5's in my fridge, and the rest of them are just sitting in my garage.
So how many days is this antibiotic?
It's like 2 weeks at least.
So you're going to have one very drunk catch-up
day.
Yeah.
It's going to be advent day for Bender.
I knew this was coming, so I drank pretty much on Friday night by myself. And I was like, I'm going to go to bed. And it's 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm still drinking by myself.
So let me ask you this. Is this the first time that you've actually had a legitimate excuse to drink by yourself as opposed to every other time you drink by yourself? Like, that was something special. Yeah. Like, for the holidays,
just,
I'm going to drink by myself.
Just for me, get a cigar and drink till 3 o'clock in the morning all by myself. It's one last goodbye.
First time you've done that outside of the lake this year.
Yeah, this year.
So anyway... Like I said, the three of us are here. It was supposed to be the four of us. Badger stopped or was not gonna get here, but I didn't really write a whole bunch of shit to talk about. I essentially brought one main thing to talk about, which is kind of good that Badger's not here because I got a feeling he hasn't watched it.
Yeah.
And then I got a couple of throw it to Missy topics, and then the rest of this episode I was gonna play traffic cop to four of us being on here. I was just gonna try to navigate the waters and move us from topic to topic because we haven't done four people in a long time.
Yeah, I was kind of curious how that was going to go.
Oh, it was going to be a shit show. Let's just hopefully, though, the last time we had the three of us on, that was a pretty good episode. Yeah. And it spiked. We have this weird spike thing right now. We go along at a pretty good pace, and then, like, the episode where I showed up drunk and I put that in the title, we spiked real high and that doubled our downloads. But then, let me tell you a good download story, though. I noticed yesterday, I check it every once in a while, and there was someone had went through and downloaded like the last 25 episodes. And then the next day, someone went in and downloaded the next 25. And the only reason that's weird is because it was just one download each. And I was like, what the fuck is that? So today I've cleaned up my phone. I got 50 of our episodes downloaded.
Oh, you turn on auto download.
I don't know why it did it, but that's weird. Well, that it would explain it. So, so now I know that if I download something twice, it counts for two downloads.
Oh, there you go.
So I don't have to keep breaking out old phones like I do to get us over the hump.
You don't have to pay India, too, to download them for
that's
you.
That's right. Boy, I used to get those offers all the time. Yeah. Nobody does it anymore. So it must be some algorithm that goes after new podcasts.
A lot of not podcasts, but a lot of text messages that are clearly scams or whatever.
Yeah.
I've never gotten that before. And the last 2 weeks, I've gotten a text message a day that's just complete bullshit.
So Saturday, my phone was blowing up all day, and it was just a recording. This is Amazon, someone has purchased $700.
I had a phone call, but now I'm getting text messages. And that's
could be a
very
side effect
annoying.
Of the antibiotics you're on.
Yeah, it must be.
I went on and I finally answered, and I'm like, this is the only way it's going to stop. And they're like, oh yeah. This is the fulfillment center. Someone ordered $700. I'm like, well, it doesn't show up on my account because I just checked. And they're like, oh, it won't show up because we stopped it ahead of time.
Oh, good, thanks. Level. Appreciate it. Good job.
Yeah, I'm like, well, I'm out. I'm going to go home and call back. And they're like, click.
Yeah.
Instantly.
Did I ever tell you about the time the dude threatened to kill me?
No.
So it was one of those times where they call. And I think we were living out here, so we just moved in out here. And it was clearly... I don't want to, in the world we live in, get in trouble here, but it was clearly someone of Middle Eastern descent with his accent. I'm not going to a-poo myself here, but he called and he goes, yes, this is Windows. And I go, oh, that's weird because I don't have a computer with internet in this house. I think it's probably your work computer. I go, oh, that's odd too because a lot of my best friends are... tech people and they've got it set up pretty good. No, it's showing it. And so I go, or maybe you're just, trying to scam me and you're a piece of shit. And he goes, how about I shoot your fucking face with a shotgun? And he hung up on me. I go, whoa, I kind of respect that. A little bit. You're clearly trying to scam me, but if you're going to go so far to threaten to murder me, touche, salesman.
Chill out there, ISIS.
Yeah, that's right. I didn't have to poo myself. He bendered. He badgered himself.
Yeah. Someone had to say it because he wasn't here.
That's right. So anyway, that said, I wanted to start with one thing on the topics because I assume we're all caught up on all three episodes of Hawkeye.
Yep.
That's the first thing I wanted to hit on. Three episodes down. I want to hear you guys' thoughts. We'll give it a way too soon rating, for just three episodes. But first off, what I like about it is more realistic, and I know that's going to sound crazy, but what I mean is, yes, they touched on in the Age of Ultron that Hawkeye was just a human compared to these guys, but he's got the hearing aid, he's got a little,
He's sore.
Yeah. Like the comic, they're capturing what's great about Matt Fraction. I love that. And then the next thing I'll get to, and I got a couple more spots, I just want to start by saying, Haley Steinfeld is a delight.
Yes.
She is.
She was. I read the one of the early reviews for the critics that had watched this said that she's already. She goes, this may sound odd considering she's already kind of a star, but she's going to be a superstar. And some critic even said she's the next Robert Downey Jr. of this universe because she's that, you know, kind of charismatic and and self-deprecating, just a little, you know, she's not the same cocky, but she's the same delivery and stuff like that.
She's fairly cocky in her abilities.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
It, like, she knows that she can hit whatever she needs to hit or whatever.
Which fits a character perfectly.
One of the greatest archers on the planet. But then he put him in her place when he shot up that room full of people in the third episode and did the no-look shot. Yeah.
I mean, she hasn't had to murder anyone, really, so...
Well, that was the whole point of the first story arc of Matt Fraction's run.
But I think, I was trying to watch that third episode, like, he hits a lot of shoulders. I don't know if he was really murdering anybody.
No, he didn't. Yeah, he didn't kill anybody in it.
He's not the ultimate version.
Yeah, but what's great, too, is some of the things I do like, and we're going to get a little comic booky on everybody here, is all of the things from Fraction's run they put in. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, they switched it to... She, in the comic book, she does drive, and he's saying, hand me the arrow. Yeah. Hand me the arrow. So they switched it in this. The suction cup arrow became a part of the joke.
Yeah.
It was... I mean, it's awesome. I enjoy the shit out of it. And the critics seem to like it. Mm-hmm. But I guess if there's one knock on it, it's the lowest streams of all their shows so far.
I can see
the live action, not what if. What if kind of dropped a little bit. But
I can kind of see that because Jeremy Renner, like, it's Hawkeye. Like, I think that's kind of to be expected.
I think it's the Aquaman effect.
Yeah.
Jeremy Renner's not that popular of a guy anymore. He had his run, you know, several years back.
And he really hasn't been able to carry the franchises that they've set up for him with Bourne and Mission Impossible.
Yeah.
Well, they gave him one episode of Bourne.
Yeah.
One film, and then really one film of Mission Impossible. Yeah.
It seemed like the first one he was in, they were setting it up for him, then it went back to...
Then they brought in Superman.
Yeah.
And he was ended up being a bad guy. Spoiler. With his...
He's not the bad guy, right? Like, he's a bad guy, but then not a bad guy.
He's helping the bad guy in it. He tries to kill him.
I don't remember. Oh, that's right.
With his CG'd mustache. Or his removed mustache. There's a helicopter fight.
There's an asinine scene
that in which...
Lasted way too long.
Well, and what was silly about it is Ethan, Tom Cruise's character, did one thing he doesn't know how to do is fly a helicopter. Yeah. And he learned on the fly.
Yeah.
And then he learned combat tactics. Yeah. But anyway, so Hawkeye.
Oh, I'm enjoying the shit out of it. I think it's a lot of fun. Like you said, Haley Stanfield is awesome. The bad guy, the broiness of the bad guy.
The tracksuit mafia.
My son and I are calling each other bro all the time.
Yeah, bro.
The girls hate it.
They brought that too. They did a good job bringing that over.
Yeah, it's hilarious. Like, they're just not great criminals.
That scene where she's giving them relationship advice.
Yeah,
that's fucking hilarious.
Yeah. And I like they brought Echo in to kind of be in charge of it all.
Yeah. It's a good way of bringing Echo into this universe.
Yeah.
I like how she said you shouldn't rely on machines.
Yeah.
You know, with the whole thing and stuff.
Yeah. An interesting character and like the whole backstory with like him trying not to kill people now and like, but they're not pulling away from the fact that he was Ronin and like he was slaughtering people constantly.
Well, we also, I think another reason why it's not getting maybe not getting views. One's it's Hawkeye, two, and it's part of the Fraction run. It seems like very low stakes. Obviously, there's going to be something that ties it again. That watch, I'm guessing is Tony Stark's watch.
I'm guessing it is too. I don't know.
Or someone's.
Maybe she's trying to steal.
It's either suit or it's a way into Avengers compound something. But and then the whole MacGuffin that they're after, the whole Ronin suit. Man, I got to tell you, that's a good piece of Kevin Feige. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about Kevin Feige again here in a little bit. How he set the internet on fire today.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But. That's a good piece of overarching story because he did go and murder a lot of people as Ronin. Just flat murdered them.
Yeah.
And he had to atone for it a little bit in Endgame.
Yeah.
But he's atoning for it now.
Yeah.
And I believe that you could put him on a lie detector test. I thought it was a really great scene with Echo. I think if you were to put Hawkeye on a lie detector, he would tell you Ronin's dead.
Yeah.
Because I think that character, part of him is dead now that his family's back and stuff.
He does say in that one scene he is dead, and they say who killed him. He's like Black Widow.
Yeah, no, she but goes, I'm
convenient.
Yeah, but I think he would believe it. I think he believes it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So one of the things I liked about the story is they're focusing more on Kate's story than Clint's story.
Yeah. So
and it's kind of flipping the comic a little bit.
Poor Hawkeye's a secondary character, even in his own solo series.
Yeah, but at the same time, they're setting her up to be the new Hawkeye. Mm.
Yeah, and I like how like he's kind of okay, like even he's dancing between that like irrelevancy and like I was there and I don't get any of the love.
Oh God! And how much did the internet love the Captain Rogers
the musical?
Yeah,
that was so cringy. Like I'm like,
so the rumor
you know who wasn't there? That guy. Yeah.
So the rumor is, and Jeremy Renner is the one that kind of helped fuel this. Mm-hmm. They wrote an entire musical.
Really?
And he goes, you might see it at some point, but they'll probably make it. But you know what? People will love it because it is so silly.
That's very Jason Segel.
Turn off the dark or whatever it was called. Went down as the worst.
Yeah, but the guy died a week before it started, too.
Is that what happened with that?
The stunt guy that was the Spider-Man fell off of one of the high-rise things and died.
There's a clip online, though. Have you ever watched that clip where they introduce the Sinister Six or whatever it is?
Oh, no.
It's bad.
You can watch the one where he dies. That's online.
Oh, I didn't see that one. But there is like a scene where they did the Sinister Six introductions and like Kraven the Hunter is just...
That was a serious attempt at a musical with Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Rogers will be campy on purpose. Yeah. And people will love it. The other big part of this I liked a lot... A lot, was the LARPing scene.
Yes. Oh,
the guy, just let me beat you. And how he had to stay, they would not flinch off of letting him stay. He was just walking around hacking people up.
I was giggling out in that scene. The bad guy, or the proposed bad guy, her stepdad, is technically, I didn't know much about him, like the Swordmaster or whatever his name is.
Yes.
Yeah.
Swordsman,
which I guess technically at some point he is an Avenger, and then he's not an Avenger.
He's in the comic, he's also Clint's mentor.
Yeah.
Teaches him how to sword fight.
Yeah. They don't give him
Fraction goes into that.
Yes.
Fraction's run goes into that.
Yeah, and Fraction doesn't go into... Fraction goes into his like past as like a carny, basically.
Yeah,
They're not doing that in this, and I thought they'd give him a little bit more of an origin
story. I feel like in TV, you avoid that because a greater audience knows Robin and Batman.
Exactly.
What we are going to see is the uncle is going to be Kingpin.
Yes. Yeah.
And there's also...
Is it Vincent D'Onofrio, though?
Yeah. Oh, no, it is.
Yeah, he kind of teased it and then pulled the tweet back.
And then there's been some... They said this is the most leaked show they've done.
Yeah,
people's leaked.
Florence Pugh's in the next episode, apparently.
Yeah, and they're not happy about the leaks.
Yeah, I thought that I'd missed the end credit scene, because there was a...
I always go through on all...
Still image. I usually do, too, but I was...
Because it's weird. WandaVision showed us, and even... it's weird when they decide to do an end credit scene.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's random.
Yeah.
It's
never every episode, never every other. Always the last one, but sometimes there'll be one or two sprinkled in.
Yeah. Yeah. But they haven't had any yet, because I was like, did I miss something? And then I went and looked into it a little further. No, they're just leaking images from next week's episode.
I haven't looked up a lot of the Easter eggs other than the ones I catch, like from Fraction stuff.
Yeah.
But have you looked up?
I haven't.
I know they're out there.
Yeah.
I haven't either.
So I got to tell you, I don't think it's a 5. I want to call it more than a 4, but I'm just going to say right now, for me, it's a 4. I want to go 4.25, but I'm going to stay 4 and see where it goes so I can go up or down from there.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think when D'Onofrio shows up, that'll probably push it up.
Because by the end of this, Echo's going to be a good guy, right?
I don't know about by the end of this.
No, but she's got her own show coming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, or that'll be... Well, and then if you don't remember in the comic book, in Bendis's run, who created Echo...
No, he didn't. It was the run before. It was David Mack and Joe Quesada.
Oh, David Mack did. That's right. But Bendis gave her life. Gave her life. And he brought her in the Avengers as Ronin.
Yeah.
Everyone assumed it was Hawkeye in the Ronin outfit in the comics, but it was Echo in the... They're not going to use Echo, I don't think,
as Ronin.
As Ronin, because Ronin they've set up to be this bad guy, essentially, for the public image. So I do love how much the public knows Ronin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did love how they brought the Ronin suit in, though.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah, because it was totally unexpected, because I didn't expect her to go to that supervillain auction type thing.
I liked the happenstance of the whole situation, though. That was really cool.
I also liked the scene where she, because she's an expert
fencer, so she knew that he was holding back. So she would stab him in the face.
Yeah.
What would have happened if he wasn't good?
Yeah.
Wait, is her dad... Like, I know her mom's got, like, some criminally ties, but they don't really ever... She assumes her dad's, like, this great dude, but I'm waiting for, like, there's, like, a backstory that he was actually a bad guy, too, type thing.
Oh, her real dad?
Yeah. The one that died, I guess.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll see. I'll tell you this. You shared it, and I saw it about a week before, and I didn't watch it, and I couldn't find it, or I didn't go back and search, so I'm glad you shared it.
Mm-hmm.
The detail they took into making the shot-for-shot retake from a different view
of
the fight in New York, that was awesome.
It was.
That was awesome. They, you know, here's the deal. When you have billions because of what you do, you can take your time and do something right.
Yep.
I heard Disney's next year, they've already planned out $33 billion in television and movies.
So let's talk about that. That's a good thing you brought up. I was actually, just so you know, I was taking a shit a while ago before you guys got here, and I thought...
Better than more here.
With the end of the Across the Spider-Verse Part 1, which that's one of my Throw It to Missy topics, with... Spider-Man No Way Home, with all the stuff that's in the pipe, and this, does it, I don't know if you guys feel this way, but obviously the amount of money kind of justifies it. Does it feel like that Marvel's officially said COVID's done? We're just going to go forward with the, and it feels like it did during like when we knew they started filming Infinity War and Age of, or an Endgame.
Yeah.
It feels like so much is on the horizon now.
Yeah.
It does, but I don't know if I necessarily feel that way just because of the way Eternals performed. Because it got a lukewarm reaction.
That's putting it. That's giving it a lot of credit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you enjoyed it, right?
I did like it. It was.
But Spider-Man No Way Home or whatever one this one is. Is this
No Way Home?
No Way Home.
This one's No Way Home.
That's why I said that a while ago.
I know, but then I got to get it in my head. That's my only real complaint about these is the fact that like their titles are too annoying. Anyways, Spider-Man No Way Home is almost, I think it's almost sold out everywhere already.
And it's not being done. It's not done.
Yeah, they said that, but...
It's fine. They'll be good.
It'll be fine. It's going to be awesome.
It's going to be a three-hour movie.
Yeah. 2 hours and 40 minutes,
it's real. It's insane, yeah.
Yeah, it's like the third longest one.
But let's go ahead. Well, and I could see where you talked about the Eternals. I think, though... Eternals was the dud we've been waiting on. And I don't mean in how good it was.
Yeah.
But we've been like, at some point, they're going to swing and miss.
And it sort of became a... COVID didn't help, but it became a self-fulfilling prophecy because forever, everybody was like, this is going to be the one that Marvel swings and misses on. Nobody knows who these guys are, and it's a semi-serious movie. Like, Guardians of the Galaxy kind of worked because it was comedy to a degree. You know,
but it was also really well fucking made.
But before it came out,
and people showed up.
Before it came out, though, people were kind of questioning it because a talking tree or a tree and a talking raccoon
and a talking raccoon.
So in this movie was similar in a sense that it was a lot of characters that people didn't know.
Yeah.
But what this movie didn't have that Guardians had is James Gunn.
And the comedic chops, like even the trailers just looked so. Heavy. It just reminded me a lot of like Man of Steel and shit.
And I read one review and said this movie might have been reviewed better had it came out before the last Avengers movies.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if we wouldn't know the level at which they could get to. And friend of the show, Aaron Conaway, who's got a brand new YouTube series out now called 9 to 5 with Daniel Moeller, just a little cheap plug for those guys. His review of it was my review of Eternals. Beautiful film. Brilliantly casted, just a little boring. Yeah. And that's what
that's
he said. Whatever,
that's the basic consensus that I heard.
It would have been better as a Disney Plus series.
Okay.
Because they could have... Because there were some characters that they had in it that they didn't really touch on a whole lot. And they could have really played out some of the story aspects that they weren't able to.
One of my favorite reviews of it was... just takes on it. It's like... The missteps that the Eternals takes will ensure that the first MCU X-Men film will be great. Yeah. Like, we know what not to do.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm going to see it before I see Spider-Man.
Like, I think Eternals comes out this month or next month streaming.
Does it?
I think it's next month.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But no, I'll go see Spider-Man.
It's not going to change anything for Spider-Man. So.
No, and Eternals was also like a little bit like Shang-Chi, which I finally watched. I don't know if I talked about it on here. I finally watched.
I
thought it was great.
It was a lot of fun.
But it did not feel like a Marvel movie. And I think that was...
Yeah.
I think that's one of the things that...
Yeah, they changed the formula a little bit, and I was okay with that.
Well, I think it wasn't supposed to. I think it was supposed to feel like a Asian
influence superhero movie, and yeah. I think it did that.
Yeah.
I think Awkwafina, who I'm hit or miss on sometimes, was great in it.
Yeah. Yeah. They did. They toned her down just enough to where she wasn't, like, too much. Ben Kingsley's character, though.
Ben Kingsley being
yeah.
back?
Yeah. Coming in was fucking hilarious.
Yeah, he had a little bit of redemption story for yeah. that guy. But I feel like the difference in, and keep in mind, I'm speaking completely with no knowledge whatsoever. This is just a wild-ass guess. But I feel like where Eternals, a lot of people said, feels like it's a standoff away from the rest of the Marvel Universe mm-hmm. with a couple of hints. It just didn't have what Shang-Chi had, and it just wasn't quite up to the same type of
yeah.
enjoyment for the audience. Yeah. Go ahead.
I put it right between Black Widow and Shang-Chi.
Okay.
Really?
You did yeah. not like Black Widow, though.
It was okay. But
it was fine.
Yeah.
I liked, there were scenes in Black Widow I liked a lot.
Like yeah.
David Harbour was awesome yeah. in it. I liked Flo.
Yeah.
And then there were parts of Black Widow where it seemed like this story's not great enough to already know where the character's going.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And what we'd seen with a lot of the solo characters in their own movies coming up to that, the bar was so high.
Yeah.
It was going to be hard to match it.
I like the espionage aspect of it. I really wish they would have used Taskmaster as, like, a smart-ass idiot, you know? Like, because in the comics, like, he's very good at, like, what he does, but he's also kind of a moron.
Taskmaster's a moron?
Yeah, he's got, like, stupid quips and stuff that he always says.
Oh, okay.
Like, every time he's fighting Spider-Man lately, he's always, like, quippy and funny.
Well, I think
he's
got Deadpool, too.
Yeah.
I think it's got a lot to do with the books that they're in.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I like that,
maybe they haven't told us part of Taskmaster's, you know, how he can instantly mimic everything. He also mimics their sense of humor.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Well,
but
he had a solo series, and I read, like, the first three issues of it, and it was kind of campy, too.
Yeah.
So.
And it's just funny. He's like comedic relief when he comes into the Spider-Man world. And I enjoy that. And I didn't enjoy the fact that, like, he didn't even have a voice.
Yeah, I don't mind that they gender swapped it.
Yeah, I don't care about that.
They just didn't make Taskmaster seem to be interesting as it could have been for someone that can mimic all of the Avengers.
And it's not to say that they can't redeem that character or, like, bring it out, flesh it out a little bit more. But it'd be a shame if it's a one and done villain.
Yeah.
Like, even if it's just one low level that shows up every once in a while.
Spider-Man No Way Home shows anything. One and done's are done.
Yeah.
You can come back.
Yep.
Yeah.
You can come back even if you're Thomas Hayden Church.
Yeah.
You can come back even if you're James Franco. Yeah. Maybe not.
Maybe.
Probably. Probably.
It looks like him, but I don't know.
Well,
I don't think they do that.
What's the over-under that Paul Giamatti just is in the movie somewhere?
Oh, that'd be awesome. That'd be awesome. But if James Franco is in this movie, I think they're intentionally not showing us that he's in this movie.
Yeah.
Let it get out. Let it be awesome. And go, by the way, we apologize. This was done before he got canceled.
I don't think it did.
And we weren't going to do Scott Snyder. No, who's the
Zack Snyder?
Zack Snyder. Yeah. Oh, I'm going through every comic book name I could come up with.
Yeah.
Yeah. Zack Snyder and CG him out with Tig Notaro over him.
Why couldn't they just bring in Dave Franco instead?
That's what we said. Yeah. I said Dave Franco should play it. It'd improve. He's
That'd
way
be
better. Missy's been saying Dave Franco's better than James Franco and better looking from day one.
That'd be a weird Thanksgiving, though. You think they get together Thanksgiving, the Franco boys?
Yeah, I mean, I think he probably knew his brother was a dirtbag.
Yeah.
He might have to sit at his own table or something.
Yeah.
Casey Affleck.
Just sit at the kids' table.
Casey Affleck and Ben Affleck get back together all the time, too. So.
Yeah.
And then he goes, Casey, are you really that bad a person? And he goes, Ben, are you that big an alcoholic? Yeah, touche.
A lot of demons in this house.
All right. Well, that's all I got. We'll get to the Spider-Man Across the Universe stuff here in a little bit. Bender, what'd you bring to today's episode?
Well, I mean, we can stay on the Marvel stuff. So, the couple things I brought. Daredevil. Kevin Feige released Daredevil's back in.
Yeah.
That was a throw it to Missy thing I teased earlier, but we'll get right into it right now. He said that. Exactly, that if Daredevil's going to be in this universe, it's going to be Charlie Cox playing him.
Yeah.
And then the internet lost its fucking mind.
Yeah.
And you get every variation of that statement possible.
Yes.
Charlie Cox is back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You even had
Kingpin himself.
Is Charlie Cox, though?
Well, I don't know, but Vincent D'Onofrio also said he deserves to be back. He's one of the best actors I've ever worked with, and I had the most fun fighting Daredevil with him. So yeah. I think Kevin Feige's playing, bluffing us here. He knows when he's coming back. He knows it's probably going to be She-Hulk.
It's got to be sooner than later.
It's going to be She-Hulk.
I don't think I'm saying anything.
Well, people were looking at the elbow of the lawyer in Spider-Man, and he could show up there.
Yeah,
Charlie Cox is 38, so he's basically the same age as me. But then, who's not coming back is the guy who played Iron Fist, because he said today, Feige dropped more stuff today saying that almost all of those characters could be back. Or they will be back. It's not necessarily who's going to be.
Well, that's not Iron Fist's fault, but more the actor sucked and the story was awful.
Yeah. Well,
maybe the actor isn't bad, but
that's what I was going to talk about. The two main characters, Finn Jones played Danny Rand, and Jessica Harwick played Colleen Wing, and they said that she practiced 4 hours a day fighting every single day, and Finn Jones refused to do any action scenes or like practice whatsoever.
And they didn't do any of the choreographing with him until 2 weeks before.
Yeah, because he refused to do it. And I'm like, that is the stupidest fucking thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
Think about if he sets it. Maybe one day, maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, maybe it's 2-3 years from now, he's sitting at home having a grilled cheese sandwich because he's out of work.
Yeah.
And he goes, if only I would have showed up to rehearsals more, I'd be in the fucking MCU.
Yeah. So season 2, they said he did more training for it. But that was after everyone already ripped on him.
Nobody even wanted the show. It was greenlit. Season 2 was greenlit before, I think season 1 even came out.
Yeah.
They were giving all of them 2 seasons. But then the Marvel Disney thing happened.
Yeah. I think the big one that people will be with bated breath would be, do we get Jon Bernthal back as Punisher? And I don't think it's got anything to do with Jon Bernthal. I think he's awesome.
Yeah.
I think that was a great Punisher. I think Punisher's a tough sell.
Well,
as is.
He also said the only way he'd come back if it was rated R.
Yep.
Yeah, which we're going to get that with Deadpool anyway. And if you're going to bring him back, maybe Deadpool's a good way of bringing him back.
I guess you could switch it up and make it less heavy and him be like a hunting down Deadpool type thing, and make it a comedy-esque thing. But
yeah, but I think he wants to tell a Punisher story.
Yeah.
And you can do that. My God, we got John Wick. It's not like John Wick's much different. The only difference is John Wick is killing other assassins. Now, Punisher also kills criminals, unfortunately. We're in a time frame where you just can't, a vigilante or a police officer or anything can't shoot, in a comic or a TV show, and the buddy cop comedies are gone.
Yeah.
No, they're not. Mel Gibson's making Lethal Weapon, whatever.
Five. Number. Not if you remember, the guy from West Wing and all those, the Jewish guy, he went after him.
Yeah.
Well, he went after him.
He said that he's probably going to end up canceled before Mel Gibson does.
Which is accurate. I mean, he's got a legitimate beef.
Yeah.
Between that and Sarah Silverman talking about Jew face in Hollywood.
Well, then he called, Winona Ryder that she'd avoid the ovens or some shit like that.
Yeah.
She tells a story about that. I'm like, God.
Terrible. The Jewish people run Hollywood, but yet they don't allow themselves to be represented well in Hollywood.
That was his whole argument in the article. If you read the article, it was like, a lot of people in power that are Jewish when it's convenient look the other way when there's money to be had.
Yeah, well, I don't want to get us canceled, but that is like the Jew stereotype, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. Your comments seem a little Jewy. What else did you have with the Marvel thing that you wanted to talk about?
I think
about?
That was it on the Marvel stuff. Did you guys watch the Peacemaker trailer?
Not the second one.
Yeah,
you didn't watch the second one.
Not that's the one that just came out yesterday.
Yeah, the one that just came out the other day.
I just missed it. I mean, just having it play.
It looks fucking hilarious. It's a buddy team up, sort of like James Gunn-esque stuff, and it looks absolutely spectacular.
What I like about the first trailer, and I hope the second trailer pulls this off, is that they did Snake Eyes better than the G.I. Joe movies did Snake Eyes.
Yeah. But it's funny, he's got Steve Agee's with him, and a bunch of other random people. He's got another...
No, they're not random, they were in the movie.
Yeah. I know, but I mean, those guys, but there's other, random little heroes with him that I don't know who they are, low-level guys that are also equally as crazy, and this is the trailer makes it seem like it's a redemption story, maybe he doesn't want to be, the complete monster that he's portrayed.
Well, even in Suicide Squad, he was following orders.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he's...
But, and that's the theme of this, is he's at what point do you stop following orders?
Yeah.
That being said, it's hilarious, and John Cena is funny as shit. Because we watched that Vacation Friends.
That's not bad.
Dude, it's funny as hell.
It's not bad. I forget who's the main people in that. That's it's
John Cena.
Well, no, not him. The main couple that you're... carries the story.
Ray something. Or
oh yeah, okay, yes, yeah, it's that funny dude from
Get Out.
Yeah. And Lil Ray, that is his name.
That's his name.
Right, Lil Ray.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He's great. He's awesome.
He's hilarious.
And he was good in that time loop movie we watched that came out there on Amazon Prime during the pandemic. Yeah, you did. It's the one with where Chris Pratt. Goes to the future to fight.
That's a different guy.
No, Lil Ray was in it.
Was he?
Yeah. He's in the beginning, and then he disappears for the entire movie.
He was his comic relief friend.
He was his comic relief during basic training.
Yeah.
That's a different guy.
All right, well, look up.
The gauntlet's thrown down.
Well, while he's looking that up, I'll take one of those third wheel beers that you brought. The first beer I brought, by the way, we mentioned that we're doing this... beer advent calendar from Costco. I got a couple of drawbacks to the beer advent calendar while we're waiting. One, everybody I know is doing it, and so I don't want to do it, and everybody else is doing it. I don't mind you doing it. John Shannon's doing it. Jason Kiefer's doing it.
I was only checking mine in on the Untappd app, which I think is linked to my Instagram.
Yeah. But I just don't want to do it. I want to find one that's unique. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Two, the good news is I've never had any of these beers, which is awesome. But that to go along with that, three, the first 4 days were Hellas's, and I hate Hellas's, and they all sucked.
I thought they were okay.
They sucked, Bender. Did you drink? You haven't got to the Schwarz beer, right? The dark one yet?
No, not yet.
That one was the first one that saved it. This is Zwickel. I can't pronounce any of these beers because most of them are written in German.
Yeah.
So
I know, right?
Poop on that. But what Jay just handed me and brought with me would be a canned beer from Third Wheel Brewing. For those that have ever heard us talk about Third Wheel Brewing and the window, and it's here's the problem I have with the window at Third Wheel, which is delicious food.
Mm-hmm.
Have you had their food?
I haven't with the new people. Oh, yeah,
it's even better.
You haven't really?
No. It's even better.
I don't make it over there very often.
But here's a problem. Here's my problem with it. The food is so good. But it's so heavy and filling that when I'm by there, I'm like, oh, I want Third Wheel and I want that food, but I don't want to feel like a fat ass for the rest of the day.
Yep.
But anyway, he did bring a beer from Third Wheel called Gotta Have It, Indian Pale Ale, 6.8% ABV. And I don't see what it doesn't say anything about the IBUs. It says 89. Yep,
89.
What's SRM? It's a newfound rating I've never heard. This is what's SRM? We're going to look that up.
Google that after I remind you how wrong you are that it's Sam Richardson.
Who's Sam Richardson?
He is the Nigerian prince in this year's Ted Lasso.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Both, well.
Funny. Don't look anything alike, you racist.
Yeah, that's, I had to put that one. That's on me. I had the Jewy comment. That's on me.
Yeah.
It was Jay over here that had the other bad comment.
What I was feeding that into after watching Vacation Friends with Cena and then Peacemaker's trailer is I also watched this week Red Notice. Did you guys watch that?
Oh, yeah. I haven't watched Red Notice.
It's fine.
Yeah.
I talked about it on here with me and Hummel. I said...
Did you?
Yeah. When it was just me and Hummel. It was about 3-4
episodes.
My take on Red Notice is if you enjoy Ryan Reynolds being Ryan Reynolds with The Rock, you'll enjoy Red Notice.
Yeah, it was fine.
And throw in the eye candy that is Gal Gadot.
Yeah. Here's the reason that I think, and I didn't notice it until after watching Vacation Friends and the Peacemaker trailer, and then I think Cena is doing a better job. Like, The Rock is typecasting himself into, like, the same fucking character. Over and over again. Like, I know when he did that stupid movie with Jason Statham, they had in a contract that neither one of them could be knocked down or beat up.
That's the Fast and Furious contract.
Yeah, that's the dumb shit contract like that.
But I think it's like in all of his movies now. He plays the same character. And Red Notice is basically, like, The Rock can't be humble. Like, I wrote a couple notes. I said he can't be humble. It's a fun movie, but it feels like a video game. Like, especially that chase in South America. That's basically straight out of an Uncharted game.
Yeah.
You know, like the whole thing is the backgrounds aren't great. And my end-all thing is that the rundown with Sean William Scott is a better jungle adventure treasure movie.
It's even better
with The Rock. Yeah.
And I did finish Jungle Cruise, and the rundown's even better than Jungle Cruise. Jungle Cruise is not bad. The daughters liked it.
Yeah, it's
what's
fine.
As a moviegoer like myself, Jungle Cruise was way better when it was called Pirates of the Caribbean 1.
That's what I said. I said all it's basically the bad guys, Pirates of the Caribbean.
They were annoying. They didn't have to have that part of it for it to be fun. In fact,
it could have just been the German.
If they would have taken that out, it would just been Germans. I'd have enjoyed it more.
Yeah. Because the CGI wasn't that great.
This is going to sound crazy to you guys, but over the Thanksgiving break, I watched a movie that I had never actually finished, and that was Wonder Woman 1984.
Oh, yeah.
I'd never finished it.
Did you wish you didn't finish
it? Now that I finished it, I can honestly say I watched a really shitty superhero movie.
Yeah.
It's bad.
I will say this. Kristen Wiig, sexy as hell in it.
Yeah.
I'll say this, too. The dumbest fight in the history of fights, where for whatever reason, when she chooses to fight Cheetah, she swings around like Spider-Man, but Spider-Man swings with purpose. She just swings around the tower a couple times. Yeah. For no reason.
Yeah.
We'll fight.
Helicopter
swing around.
Kick.
Swing around.
That leg,
swing around.
Legs
yeah. Not a good movie. It made The Mandalorian look like a turd, too. He wasn't great in it.
Yeah, Pedro Pascal.
Yeah, Pedro Pascal wasn't great in it.
They could have done without him in the movie completely.
Yeah, altogether.
Yeah.
Because they did nothing with whatever his stone was.
Yeah.
Like, there was no real...
Well, they also made him Max Lord in charge of who ended up being in charge of OMAC, who ended up creating the Justice League West Coast or whatever.
International.
He's done so much stuff. He shot Blue Beetle, a lot of cool stuff. And in the movie, we don't need to get any of that stuff.
He's just a bad dad.
You never want to see him again.
Yeah.
Just a bad dad.
Yeah, bad movie. Jay, what'd you bring to talk about?
Well, Supergirl Season 1 did a much better version of him than...
Oh, really? Yeah, that's the CW verse, which is completely different. That's what
that wasn't CW at the time, though.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, but that was CBS.
Started at CBS.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. What did Lois and Superman start on?
Because ABC.
All accounts, that's the new one.
The new one.
Oh, I don't know. That's CW.
That's CW.
That's a CW.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
So, by all accounts, that's supposed to be really good.
My daughter loves it, but she watches every one of those shows. So.
Okay.
Yeah. What is CW? What's that stand for? Christian White People Network? Is that what
they
are? Yeah.
They did have like their sister station.
That'd be a little too racy for them.
That'd be a little
too racy. No, it's kind of true because their sister station was UPN, and that was like Urban Programming Network or something like that.
No, it was United Paramount Network.
Yeah.
It was.
No, it really was. That was a former studio.
Yeah, UPN.
Anyway,
This is a dicey episode. We're dancing around.
treading in racist waters, which are not typically this shallow, because we're just stomping away.
Yeah.
Without Missy and the Badger.
Yeah, that's right. What do you got?
I watched Masters of the Universe Revelation Part 2.
Haven't watched it yet. I heard some reliable critiques of it from some online reviewers that said it would have been better without Skeletor. They said that was the problem.
I didn't mind them.
Yeah.
This is
Kevin Smith's one.
Yeah.
Okay.
I thought it was supposed to be a three-part, but I think this is it unless it gets renewed. Mm. But I enjoyed it.
I think it's going to get renewed because I was just at Target shopping, what day is it, Monday? Yesterday,
with
the wife, and they had a million Masters of the Universe toys. And they all look really fucking cool.
They do. They look a lot better than the original single mold.
Yeah, so I'm like, this is probably, whether they want it to or not, they've dumped this much money into toys, they might as well keep it going.
Yeah, because the toys will make the money for them.
Yeah.
But it was good, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the first part, too, though, when most people complained about...
I liked the first one.
Yeah.
I only watched the first episode.
Well, yeah, but people that complained about it thought that was the ending.
Yeah.
And Kevin Smith was like, are you guys retarded? I'm sorry, dude, we're getting stepping on you, we're doing bad words.
Quadruple down at this point.
Yeah.
But you guys are stupid because you think they're going to let me do that.
Yeah.
You know? Dumb people.
Yeah. And they were upset it focused on Teela a lot more, but it continued to build her character in the second part. So I thought it was good. I'd probably sit down and watch it again when my son wants to watch it. So it's worth checking out.
I just, side note here. I really enjoy this Gotta Have It. I think it's a very good beer.
Yeah, it's really good.
You've yet to check into it.
Yeah.
I have three friends that have checked into it.
Am I one of them?
Yeah. I don't even know who some of them are. John Bender, he gave it a 3.25.
Mm.
Solid rating. It's probably where I'm going to be. Tom Schaefer.
You guys know Tom?
No.
That's my step or my brother-in-law.
Yeah. Yeah, he's helped us brew our first beer.
Yeah.
He gave it 3.5. And then Stephanie Johnson, I don't know who the fuck that is, she gave it a 0.75.
She doesn't like IPAs, clearly.
Yeah, and yeah. She's got the word taster by her. Yeah, I don't know. Oh, she purchased it at Third Wheel. I don't know who Stephanie is. She's got, I tell you what, I'm not going to lie to you, Stephanie looks cute in her picture.
Oh yeah.
I shouldn't say her last name.
Blues Avatar Lady.
You'll have to go back and bleep it out.
Yeah, like I couldn't do that. I need a drop button.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm going to give this a 3.25. When I saw the rating on it, I was like, 2.5? How does that work? Oh, the dumb kid in class is fucking up the curve for everybody.
Yep.
So anyway, go back to what you're saying.
So, no, it's worth checking out. The at least finish the series, but they left it open for more.
Yeah, okay.
Because the original Masters of the Universe set it up with a second group of bad guys, right?
Do you remember? Yeah, Hordak.
Yeah, Hordak.
Hordak and the Horde, Evil Horde. Yeah. And they had, if I sat here and thought long enough, I could name them all.
Because I have Hordak sitting at home, but yeah, I don't.
That was before my time.
And Hordak was a crossover with, Hordak also battled She-Ra.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I always thought growing up that She-Ra was the chicken He-Man, but I was Teela. Wrong.
No. Yeah.
Yeah. But it was that cartoon, I think, was over by the time I was old enough to remember.
She was in the Whispering Woods that moved, so you could not find them.
Yeah.
I watched it as a kid because it was on, like, you know, it was like G.I. Joe, He-Man, and you had to watch where the babysitter I was at, you had to watch She-Ra. I'm not going to say it was awful, but I'm going to say it wasn't great.
Yeah,
I hear the new one. I've not watched it. I hear it's
good. I haven't either.
It is pretty good. You watched? I haven't watched all of it because my daughter, she'll start something and then like just shotgun the whole thing. I'm like, well, I gotta, you know, eventually do something.
Yeah.
And then I'll come back and she's 19 episodes beyond me. And I'm like, okay, I'm done.
That's weird. Your daughter has the, like, she just trudges through, just ignores you and trudges right through.
Oh, she's watching some show. She makes me watch it with her now called Creeped Out. It's like basically Are You Afraid of the Dark, but on Netflix.
Oh, okay.
And it's fine. They're okay. Some of them are creepy, some of them aren't. There's a creepy Santa Claus one that's pretty wild. But she makes me sit there and watch them with her, and I'm like, oh, this is awful. I'm like, I gotta go do something else for a while. I can't watch 9 of these in a row.
Yeah.
Well, since you stole my Marvel news with Charlie Cox, throw it to Missy. I've got two of them. I'm gonna start with. I'm gonna add one. I did finish, and I teased it in the last episode I did by myself. I watched that movie Infinite with Mark Wahlberg. Have you watched that on Paramount Plus yet?
No,
I don't have Paramount Plus.
Yeah, it's a really cool concept. It's there's less than 500. Well, there's 500 people that were born with the ability to remember every incarnation of their previous life.
Yeah.
And their skills and everything. And the main one. There's two main ones. There's I never pronounce his name.
This is Highlander, not Highlander. Right?
It's not Highlander. Yeah. This is because they. I mean, if they die, they just automatically come back in a different body and a new that's born. You know? Yeah. And when they grow up, they start getting these memories coming back. The bad guy, he's awesome. He's my favorite part of it. I never remember how to pronounce his name, but he's the bad guy from Serenity, the movie. He's the assassin.
Edaphor or something.
Yeah. Edaphor. He's awesome in everything he's in. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, he's great in everything he's in. He's the bad guy in this, and he's great.
Got 16% on Rotten Tomatoes.
So it's got Mark, and Mark Wahlberg plays Treadway, which is Heinrich Treadway, here's where it's cool. So he is a kid that grew up when these memories started hitting him, all the psychiatrists thought he was schizophrenic, so they started giving him medicine. He carved things in his chest, like, look inside, which is a big deal. He tried to commit suicide by wrecking a car, and he's got a steel plate in his head. All those things come back in the movie, by the way, in dumb ways. He also he's the main guy. He's like the guy they're trying to find.
Yeah.
It's cool. The cool setup's cool. And then it does not deliver on any of it. Here's the other thing. They gradually mention, when talking about Treadway, like halfway through the movie, he was so good at tapping into his previous lives that he actually manifested in the ability to control elements. Sorta. He can he's on top of this plane and he's holding on with a sword that he stabbed in the plane while it's flying, and then he lets go and he can walk through the plane Locke wanted to play him because he can control the wind a little bit. And then it's never used again. It's like, yeah. So, like, if you're waiting on a sequel, it's not. It should not happen.
That's kind of like that movie Jumper with Hayden Christensen. Like, there's a lot of cool elements.
That's not a bad movie, though. I stand by that. That's a good movie.
Yeah, I like that.
15% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, those people are wrong. Well, no, what's the audience? What's the audience though?
Metric score of 6.1. All right, I'll click on
that. You gave the audience score. You can't just go by critics.
44 in the audience.
That's I would have gave it 8 points better.
I think a percentage of that too is Hayden Christensen. People
that's
see
just
that,
right? Yeah, Hayden Christensen.
Also, blonde Samuel L. Jackson. Nobody wanted.
Yeah, that. The whole Push, another good one. Push was a good movie.
Push is a good one. I like Push. And I think Rachel Bilson is a underrated actress that should get more work.
She's got this thing that she's hot.
Yeah,
yeah, that'll work. So that was, I did watch that Infinite. It's not worth your time. It's a small step, like a 0.10% better than Transformers with Mark Wahlberg.
It's slightly better than that?
Well, dude, those movies are so bad.
And you don't know how many times I've watched them because my son loves Transformers.
Transformers 1, though, is really good.
Bumblebee was good, too.
Bumblebee's good.
See, I didn't dig Bumblebee.
John Cena again.
The only reason I didn't dig Bumblebee is because I heard that it was, finally Transformers gets a little bit of redemption, and I had high expectations. I was like,
it's a kids movie. It's like
you saw them in their original forms on Cybertron. That kind of made the whole movie.
That was cool.
That was cool.
What do you got? Anything to throw it to Missy?
The wife and I are I got two things. The wife and I are watching the show on HBO Max called Made for Love with Kristen.
Yeah, it's got big reviews.
Maloney?
Yeah.
Is that how you say your name?
I don't know.
The girl from How I Met Your Mother.
We could almost say that you got it wrong. The disappointing mother from How I Met Your Mother.
Yeah. But basically, it's great. It's Made for Love. It's got her. It's got Billy Magnuson, Ray Romano. Those are the big ones.
A massive fan of Ray Romano.
Me too. And he plays just the worst father.
I may be the only guy that truly, truly enjoys Welcome to Mooseport.
No, that's a good movie.
It's awesome.
I don't care for. I never really
Hackman
cared for.
Gene Hackman and Ray Romano.
I don't really care for. Everybody Loved Raymond that much.
I loved it.
Got on my nerves after a while.
It was hit or miss.
I loved it for one reason. I took a cruise. The girlfriend I was dating and I took a cruise. And when you're on a cruise, you get like limited TV.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They essentially loop the same six things. Well, one channel was looping the same six episodes of Everybody Loves Raymond. And so when I was drunk or sober, I'd watch the same six episodes and. Well, now I don't know if this joke holds up or not, but fuck it, we're off the deep end in this episode. When his dad's trying to make it up, like trying to reconnect to Ray's son, because they saw him flip out and get mad, he goes out and he goes, "What did the Mexican firefighter name his twin sons? Jose and Jose B." I just died laughing on a cruise ship.
It's Peter Boyle, so it's okay.
Yeah, it's Peter Boyle. Perfect.
No, he's great in this. Like, he's like kind of crazy and a complete loser, and his wife is a sex doll, and that's in the trailer, so I'm not giving anything away.
We may check it out. We're going to watch. I think Missy and I are going to try watching that and try watching that Yellow Jackets, because it's getting really good.
I've heard good things about it.
I don't have Showtime. So I don't. Most of the time, Showtime stuff ends up on Netflix, so I'll probably watch it then.
Yeah.
We're watching the new Dexter. I guess that's a throw it to Missy. We're watching a new season of Dexter.
How's that?
It doesn't feel the same as the old Dexter. Dexter feels the same, but the whole way it's filmed, it's just different. But we love the character.
Yeah.
See, I have no appeal after that ending, so.
The ending was bad. That was any bad. But the good news is Angel shows up. The lieutenant.
From the Vampire Slayer?
No. I can't think of his last name. But the detective, the other detective ends up.
Batista.
Batista, yeah. Angel Batista, that detective.
The guy from NYPD Blues.
He goes to one of the characters.
That's a different guy.
Spoiler alert.
That's a Totoro, I think.
Yeah, that's a Totoro. Spoiler alert, Dexter's girlfriend is chief police in this town, and she travels to New York to go to this police conference, and Angel is he's given a keynote speech about finding a suspect when seemingly nothing matches, and the Butcher Bay.
Yeah.
And then he brings up Trinity, and he goes into the Trinity case. And for those that don't know, the Trinity season is the pinnacle of Dexter. It's the best. And so that was cool, you know. But overall, it's
good enough that when I want to watch it, I keep watching it, but it's irritating enough, like with his relationship with his son and somehow some of the characters reacting. It's got Clancy Brown in it. I love Clancy Brown, too. He was, you know, the hard as nails guard from Shawshank and has been in
all. Oh, yeah. He's been in everything.
Yeah,
he's been in
everything. Yeah, he's like a character actor and everything.
Yeah.
That and the
he's got a cool voice.
Before I give it to the next guy, I will say, or for the next person, I will say the other thing that I really am looking forward to is the finale and film version of Ray Donovan. We're finally getting the finale.
I think I'm going to finish the show because I stopped watching. That show's
so good.
I stopped watching it because they just ended it.
Yeah, and they it was a victim of pre-COVID kind of stuff. Anything you got else?
Let's see. I've been on, so I went ahead and watched season 2 of Tiger King.
Oh, we watched it as well.
I did not.
Very different. It's still entertaining, but very different feel. If in a way, it feels much more dark.
Yeah. They kind of touch on the Joe Exotic appeal that's
Trump
going on.
Thing?
The guy's going to try to get Trump to
pardon him.
Yeah, and then those QAnon people run him off. This ain't the place for it. Oh God, there's even a line you draw.
Yeah,
guys, we gotta get to Texas.
The guy that wasn't really featured in the first one, the other exotic animal trainer.
Yeah.
That guy's a train wreck.
Big time.
And a piece of shit.
Yeah.
So I forget what I was watching. Some comedian said, like, Tiger King 1 was fine, but now I feel like I think it was Michael Che. He goes, now I feel like we're just celebrating shitty people.
I tell you, the only thing that this season accomplished was me thinking that Joe needs out because he was framed.
Yeah.
It really makes me feel that he was framed.
Yeah. Because, I mean, they go into the fact that the guy that was hired to kill Carol Baskins is like, actually, I was hired to kill Joe.
Oh.
Yeah, and he was like, I was never going to do it, and Joe's framed, and it was all that Jeff.
He's like,
help me understand this. How does Jeff get smoking hot women?
Yeah.
Now they're strippers, but still.
It's because his wife is there, too.
Tiger King 1 money.
Yeah. Now.
Just, man.
Meth before that.
Yeah. What else you got? Well, you said you're going through all. Where do you rate it, though? If you rate, give me your rating of what you gave Tiger King 1 on an Untappd scale.
I'd give Tiger King 1 probably like 3.5.
So where would you give this one?
Like 2.
Okay.
I wasn't into it as much.
I was going to go like 3.5, 3.75 for 1, maybe even 4 because I enjoyed it. I mean, it was probably a 5 because when it came out
in the
beginning of the pandemic. And this one was like at best a 3.
And with the first one, it was like the end of the first episode. It's like, oh, but this happened and it sucks you in. You're like, well, I got to watch number 2 now.
That was must watch TV.
They didn't do that with this one.
What else you got?
Let's see. I started Raised by Wolves.
So the season 2 trailer looks awesome.
I haven't seen that yet.
So I may want to watch season 1, but I've heard mixed reviews.
I've watched like the first 2 or 3 episodes, and it's just kind of, it's really out there. I like out there stuff, but
it looks amazing.
Yeah. Visually it's pretty appealing.
I think it's Ridley Scott falling victim of current Ridley Scott.
Yeah. Have you guys watched that TV version of what's that?
Foundation?
No. I hear that's awful.
Yeah, I watched one episode of it and fell asleep.
It's not coming back.
No, it is.
Oh, it is?
I think it was one of those we've already spent the money with.
Oh, okay. No, that what was the train movie that was so good?
Oh, Snowpiercer.
Snowpiercer. Yeah. Have you watched the TV show?
I haven't.
Yeah. I heard it's not bad.
It's on Netflix.
Oh, it is now?
I think so. Okay. Yeah.
I may have to check that out.
I think you can watch it all on TBS or on the TNT app or whatever it is. Yeah,
that's free if you have cable.
Yeah. What if you know someone that has cable?
What do you got? You got anything while he's looking up going through
this? Yeah, a couple of things. The other thing I watched, because it became the longest running sitcom in TV history, is
I watched It's Always Sunny.
15th season's premieres of Always Sunny, and it's...
And they address, in the episode, right, they address some of their jokes that don't hold up. Like their blackface jokes.
So I watched the first 2 episodes. The first episode is their... I'll give you a quick synopsis. And it's... They're trying to get a PPE loan, you know?
Because of the COVID.
Yeah. And the guy shows up and he's like, oh, thank God, we really need this money. And the guy's like, no, you guys don't understand. We've already given you 3 loans. I need to know what you did with that money. And so Mac and Charlie... If you guys watch the show, I assume you've watched
I've not watched all 15 seasons. I've watched the early seasons.
I haven't watched much.
I've probably watched three total seasons.
I probably haven't watched it since like season 7 on a regular basis. But what I do is I watch the episodes that are considered the highlights where he comes out as gay.
Yeah.
And, yeah. So like Mac and Charlie do like a thing with the... Because the whole thing of the episode is like our guy wasn't getting a fair shake. And so they set up and they're doing security. They use the PPE money to do security at like voting booths in Philly. But then they get in and we're arguing about who's the better athlete from Philadelphia, Donovan McNabb or Rocky Balboa. So then they set their own voting thing up with their own voting boxes in front of a voting station that says drop your votes here. And they're singing songs about it. And he's like, so yeah, we kind of like maybe accidentally delayed the election results. And he was like, you mean you might have had a thing? And he's like, oh no, we definitely had a thing in it. And then they go to Frank, which is Danny DeVito, and he is the reason that Rudy Giuliani's hair was leaking down the side of his face.
That's hilarious.
Charlie D made the costumes for the QAnon shaman.
Oh, that's
like
awesome.
It's all like just accidental like things that go on. And then I was like, that's pretty good. It's a little cheap, but it was a pretty funny episode. And then the second episode, like what's his name? Mac is being like, our dentist is being like super woke, and they're making Lethal Weapon 7.
Oh yeah,
and they're trying to address like the whole blackface
thing. That's where they talked about it. Yeah,
and like you're going into it, and you're like, this show is like really changing. And then like, Dennis does this whole speech about how we can't do these things anymore, and like, you can't. It's politically incorrect to do all this stuff, and they were like, What is going on with you, man? Like, who are you? And he goes, oh, it just took forever. Like, the only real reason to do anything is to bang 20-year-old women. So then he goes into this, like, whole story about how he was trying to bang left-wingers and he couldn't do it. And he was trying to bang right-wingers and he couldn't do it. He goes, then I was just sitting there and I was talking to this girl and I just kept, and he just repeats everything she says. And he goes, all these millennials fucking care about is their own goddamn echo chamber. So you just keep repeating it. And all that really matters is, Daddy gets his. It's so gross, but it's
Rob,
funny.
Rob McElhaney had the best tweet ever this week, yesterday, thanking the Philadelphia fans thanking the Philadelphia fans for their continued support. He's just happy to contribute to the team win because people say that Gardner Minshew and him look alike.
Yeah.
And he just put up a picture of himself with the mustache. So I thought that was hilarious. What else you got?
So along those woke lines, I watched The Premise on Hulu.
I haven't watched that.
It was by BJ Novak. It's a series of anthologies.
Yeah, it got really bad reviews.
Oh, it was great. Just because it ripped on everything.
Okay.
So it is good?
So the first episode...
Maybe that's why I got reviews like the media probably hated it.
Yeah. So the first episode was about a trial where a black guy was accused of hitting somebody.
Mm-hmm.
But this guy's sex tape shows in the background what really happened. And he was the woke guy.
Uh-huh.
And so, like, everything he was trying to do was, like, politically correct. Like, trying to be, like, being an advocate for everybody.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then all these women came into the trial, and he's like, oh, he wanted to call me a mama and stuff. And
oh, he's got all these,
The whole trial was just about his sex
tape. Yeah, I've seen that part of it, yeah.
And so the second one was about gun culture with John Berthel.
The Punisher.
Yeah, and it was awesome. And the last one was the one that topped it all, because it was called The Butt Plug.
Oh, boy.
And it was one of the Asian guys from the...
Squid Game?
No. Lost.
Oh, okay.
He runs a company, but there was this guy in high school that picked on him all the time. Mm-hmm. And this guy ran out of money and came to him like, I need help to keep my business afloat. And he goes, I will give you a year. If you give me the ultimate butt plug, I will give you money to help fund your company.
Huh.
And so this guy spends a year doing research and everything. And he presents it to this guy's board, who's like all executives everywhere. Yeah. And he knocks it out of the park. And they all start laughing at him. And at the end of the episode, the guy takes the butt plug and puts it on a in a glass case full of butt plugs of other people that picked on him growing up.
Oh, man, that's awesome.
That is hilarious.
Have you ever seen the SNL digital short about with Pete Davidson about erectile dysfunction and the butt plug?
I think so.
It's a large, oversized pill, and you take it rectally, and he goes, oh, it kind of sounds like a butt plug. No, it's an ED pill, and it's the only thing that can put the lead in my pencil.
Yeah.
it's pretty funny. So I got one for you, and I think it's time for us to I don't know if you guys watch this trailer, but I think it's time. We get worked up on the episode sometimes, so we should take a little R&R. Mm-hmm. And if you don't know what R&R means, that means ramming and rimming, because the MacGruber trailer was fucking hilarious today.
Yeah.
And that's how it ends. He's looking at Kristen Wiig and he goes, maybe we need some R&R. She goes, I could do a little rest and relaxation. He goes, no, the other one, ramming and rimming. And she goes, oh, MacGruber. But the trailer was out. It's on Peacock. It's definitely hard R.
Yeah.
For those that don't know, it was a movie with Will Forte, Kristen Wiig, Chris Jericho,
yeah.
Ryan Phillippe. Ryan Phillippe's back, Will Forte's back, Kristen Wiig's back, Billy Zane's back, Lawrence Fishburne's here, Sam Elliott's here, and so many more people, and the trailer looks awesome. If you haven't watched the movie MacGruber, it's probably one of those underrated gems that just kind of flops.
Oh, it's spectacular. It's
yeah.
Unbelievably good movie. In the trailer and the series, looks like it's going to keep that going. I mean, we have Peacock, and I'll be honest with you, we've got Peacock just to watch the Halloween Kills, and then I just have yet to delete it. So I caught up on all the first season of Saved by the Bell, which is fucking awful.
The new one?
But I enjoyed it.
We're watching the original because we told Madeline how great it was when we were kids.
Yeah, still great.
And she loves it.
Still great.
We're like,
it's a little dated.
Yeah. So,
by the way, I even had to look this up because I was only watching it in the background. So the influencer, hot chick in the of the cast is a dude, or is one that identifies as a woman in real life.
Hmm.
On the Saved by the Bell. And they've worked that into the story.
I was going to give you crap about calling a high school kid hot.
So. Well, yeah, but it's even...
The top off this episode.
Yeah, it's even worse or more than that. So much so that he was a Disney actor, and now she is a straight female and all this stuff. And I got to tell you, I watched fucking 6 episodes before I looked it up. I was like, holy fuck. That's the best one to do this in Hollywood.
Yeah.
I mean, she's got her shit together. Nice. Yeah. But and it's, I don't know, man. It not worth watching, but I enjoy it.
Yeah.
It's just trash TV that you like.
Also, real quick, too, if you guys got anything else before we close, we're going to look.
Are we talking about the Spider-Man thing or not?
Yeah, we will. But I want to tell you, me and Hayden yesterday went to the Reset Vintage Clothes Shop and Apparel. It's Maplewood. It's near Bottle Works.
Yeah.
Shane Presley turned me onto it because Hayden fancies herself for sneakerhead.
Mm-hmm.
It's a pretty big sneaker store and clothes store, cool store. So Hayden, I said, Hayden, I'll take you there.
Mm-hmm.
So what's Hayden do? She puts on her champion pants, her Kentucky Blue Jordan 1s,
mm-hmm.
and a cool hoodie. And we go, because if she's going to go in the sneaker shop, she's got to look like she's a sneakerhead,
yeah. mm-hmm.
which she thinks she is. The cheapest pair of shoes I found there were an ugly-ass pair of Yeezys, but I shouldn't have even said ugly-ass because I qualified that by saying they're Yeezys,
mm-hmm.
for $250. The most expensive pair of shoes I saw there was $3,000.
Holy shit.
It's Young Buck territory.
They have Supreme t-shirts on one rack, the cheapest. And I got to tell you, I found a handful I liked, but the cheapest Supreme t-shirt's like $60.
This is all like reused?
No. These are new. They put a sticker, what's new and what's used. But some of the used shirts were pretty fucking expensive.
Yeah.
And this place had a lot of people in there. A guy was trading in some of his Jordans and some of his Jordan stuff to get some store credit. He got $500.
They're going to sell his shoes.
Hayden, there's a pair of... Yeah. There's this collab called Strangelove, this pink and red pair of low-top Jordan 1s that Hayden wants. And they had them there.
$1,300.
Yeah.
And it's, what's crazy is, like, in your size, you know, depends on what size it is. Like, I'm fucked if I ever want to be a sneakerhead. Because yeah, size 14 costs me a lot of money.
Yeah. Yeah. Extra $700 on
top. Yeah, if you're like a 9 or 10, I might get that, you know, a little lower. They did have some fucking awesome shoes, though, man.
Yeah.
Like, some SB Dunks. I love the Dunks. I got a pair of Blazers, and I love Dunks. And, but I was blown away that this store existed, you know, in my reality.
Yeah.
I'd seen it on TV, but I didn't know there was a real store like that. Also, the reason I wanted to bring it up, cool store, Reset. It's in Maplewood. Go check it out. It's very cool for your sneaker set. Also, the guy that was trading stuff in goes, for those that don't know, the founder and creator of Off-White, who was Kanye West's partner and best friend, he died this past week. He was also the first black person to be in charge or be an art director for a major. He was Louis Vuitton's art director for a little while. I think he was art director, whatever they call it. But anyway, so he died. 42, cancer. People didn't know he was battling it.
That sucks.
So Off-White. Off-Whites were his. I mean, they're massive. Mm-hmm. So the guy goes, "You have any Off-Whites?" He goes, "We pulled them all off the shelf." And he goes, "Oh, yeah?" And he goes, "Yeah, the market's so volatile. And if I would have sold them for $500 to a guy, he probably would have just taken it, flipped it for $1,000." He goes, "I don't want that happening."
Which I'm going to flip it for $1,000.
Yeah, that's what. So I told that to Hayden. Hayden was like, "Well, that's kind of cool." And I go, "No, it's not. He's just waiting for the market to stabilize so he gets maximum dollar."
Yeah, yeah, he's not an idiot.
And I'm not pooping in the store. The store's awesome. He's not an idiot. I mean, it's good business. But when the guy was eating it up, he was like, "Oh, I get what you're saying." Yeah.
Yeah.
No, he just, even if it, so if he's got $400 on a pair of shoes right now and that shoe's going for $1,200, maybe in 2 months it might settle down to like, yeah, 800, yeah, he still doubles his profit. Yeah. So
they're on eBay right now.
Oh yeah, that's what I was wondering too. But man, just crazy shop. That's all I had. So anything else, you guys go run with it.
Did you guys talk about 8-bit?
We did. Oh, the movie. No, but let's finish with that because I do love that movie. But let's hit on real quick. I think, what are you more excited about? The fact that we saw the Across the Spider-Verse trailer, or the fact that we saw Across the Spider-Verse trailer part one?
Yeah.
That is so exciting. Part one.
Unexpected. Completely unexpected.
Yeah. And the trailer was unexpected.
Yeah.
The drop of the trailer was unexpected.
It was way too soon, but I guess it's coming out next December?
Yeah. Which, the trailer was so good.
It was. It didn't tell you anything, but you got so hyped for it.
All it showed you was Spider-Man 2099 kicking the shit out of mine.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I like how he looked aged up. Like when he's laying there listening to the.
Slightly. Just
yeah. He didn't, yeah, he's like, in college. Like a year or two older.
He's
or whatever.
In college now.
Yeah. And I thought it looked spectacular. But I didn't expect to see. What was his name? Miguel, whatever.
Yeah.
Spider-Man 2099.
Miguel O'Hara.
Flying through.
Even though you saw him in the post-credit scene.
Yeah, but Oscar Isaac blew up after that. So, you know, you're like, is he really going to do this? But he said he would only do it if they made him awesome. So
he
look awesome as shit.
I can't wait for it. It looked amazing. And the fact that it's part one is even better.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to ever give a review to a trailer or a teaser for a trailer, it's not even a real trailer. It's a teaser.
Yeah.
That's a 5 out of 5 teaser.
Into Spider-Verse is my favorite Spider-Man movie.
Oh, yeah, for sure. It's the best one.
Spider-Man.
It's got all the elements of a spider. It's got the heart.
Yeah.
It's got the rise, the fall. It's everything.
So Spider-Man 2 was the greatest live action one, but it blew it out of the water. Oh, yeah, I thought
definitely.
You see what you're talking about when you talk about Spider-Man 2. That's like his mecca.
It's Batman, Spider-Man 2. Well, now that Spider-Verse is above those.
Michael Keaton Batman's your mecca?
No. Dark Knight.
Yeah.
Which one?
The Dark Knight.
Number two.
Heath Ledger. Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah. All right. I'll give you that.
You realize Spider-Man 2 is 20 years old now?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
It's so crazy.
And we might see Tobey Maguire Spider-Man again with a cane.
And Kristen Wiig. No.
Kirsten Dunst.
Kirsten Dunst. Thank you. Yeah. My brain fell out of my head there for a minute.
How many did you pick that up for you?
She wants to do Old Mary Jane.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So we watched Amazing Spider-Man couple weeks ago.
Andrew Garfield?
Yeah, it wasn't that bad.
The second one's really bad.
Yeah.
No, I thought he was.
But the first one's fine. He's a good Spider-Man.
Yeah, I think he's a very good Spider-Man. He's just old. They should have just shot an older version of Spider-Man.
Yeah. So let's get into what I even said this. I'm not saying, I don't want people to think that I'm saying that this is how good the movie is. It's just, this is the best way to describe what 8-Bit Christmas is. It's like a 35 and older version of A Christmas Story.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Instead of a Red Rider BB gun, they're after a Nintendo.
Yeah.
I'm a kid that got a Nintendo for Christmas.
So did I.
NES. Yep. And I bet I got mine before you guys.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
I think it came out in 85, and I got mine at when I was like 6 or 7.
I think I got mine in 86.
I probably got it, or we probably got it around the same time, too. So, but my mom, she said that, like, when I woke up, because my dad had a girlfriend at the time, was a pretty awesome chick. I don't ever know what happened to her, but it was one of the few girlfriends he had. I was like, oh, I like her.
She got me a real cool,
my dad happened. Accurate. Drugs, cocaine, and booze. So she got me a Christmas present that year. I don't know if you guys know this, remember this, and this is gonna tell you that I wasn't too old, but it's called a couch potato. Coolest fucking stuff.
Yep.
I love it.
I remember it.
My name was Spuddy Buddy. And she's like, when she gave it to me, she's like, I waited in line. Like, I did my dad's Christmas a week before my mom's. And she's like, I waited in line for a long time to get this for you, but I knew you wanted it. And I was like, oh, this is awesome. So when I go home to mom, I go, Mom, you won't believe what my dad's girlfriend Gloria got me. And I said, she waited in line for so long. And my mom's like, well, fuck, I hope he didn't get the same thing, because I waited in line for 4.5 hours.
Jeez.
And it was the Nintendo. I was like, well, Spuddy Buddy's awesome, but this is a Nintendo. And I had two games with it. I had the, I had three games. I had Mario. Yeah. No, I didn't. See, mine predated Mario Duck Hunt Slash.
Okay.
Mine was just Mario.
Yeah.
I had to get Duck Hunt later, but Castlevania was my first game.
Ooh.
Oh, nice.
And so
83 came out.
Yeah, so I remember that Famicom. It was Famicom in Japan. So I remember, like, the hubbaloo, and I remember all the craziness that went with it. And so what I liked about the movie 8-Bit Christmas, starring Neil Patrick Harris as our narrator.
Yeah.
As our, what do they call that? They call it
The point of view character?
No, well, there's something when the narrator gets the facts wrong. It's called an untrusted narrator or something like that. And he's kind of a little bit of that, because he's skewing them.
Because the helmet changes. Our helmet comes on, the goggles come on.
Yeah, so he's talking to his daughter, so it's got a little bit of Princess Bride feel to it also. But Bender, did you watch it?
Yeah.
Oh, so but
we watched it last night. Actually,
you were the first one to watch it after I texted it out. So what did you think of it? And then Jay, what did you think?
I absolutely loved it. First of all, Neil Patrick Harris is a national treasure.
I bet he's a great dad in real life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I follow him on Instagram, and him and his kid, they're always looking like they're doing fun stuff. His husband and his kids, and they just look like an amazing family. But anyways, he was a great narrator.
This is not an insult. So people don't. We've said a lot of insulting things.
Yeah. No, it's not. No.
It's not an insult.
They're adorable.
But he is like you. He is such a good dad, and I don't know how to phrase this the right way. But you forget that he's an adopted gay couple dad.
Yeah.
You would think he's just the guy that sired these kids.
Yeah,
because he's. His characters he plays, here's the compliment I'm looking for. Here's what I'm trying to say. Neil Patrick Harris is a person that can go and read for any role, regardless of if it's gay, straight, or whatever, and get it. And that's the ultimate goal for people.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
You know, like, you know.
You get lost in the character that
he
is.
He's so good.
He pulled off Barney.
Yeah.
Yeah. The most womanizing character of all time. Yeah.
He did a great job. Anyways, the movie I thought was just, it was just a shit ton of fun and dorky, and that, just like, remembering the
20-year-old bully.
The 20-year-old bully, like, remembering the bully is even like a bigger guy than he really was. Just great stuff. The group of friends, and then I like the kick out of the, like, who he hooks up with, it, who he turns out to marry in the end. See in the movie, but
the boots.
The boots.
Spoiler warning, the boots. Yeah. I'm going to pose a question to you, Jay, and then I want you to follow up with your thoughts on it. Did you guys, And there is a slight, I mean, all we're going to say, spoiler warning, that the emotions run high for a reason. Did you get a little bit teary-eyed at the end?
Oh, yes, at the end.
Absolutely, I did. I was like, this, and Missy, who's, you know, can be pretty cold-hearted and watching TV. Well, I don't think Missy has the right kinds of emotions. I'm probably, in my drunken states, a little more emotional than I've ever been in life. But I got a little waterworks came out at the dinner table.
I liked how, like, the parents were just kind of like...
I'm gonna stop you there. I threw this question to Jay.
That's
all right. Just kidding.
I'll let him have it.
And then you're going to let him have it.
Go for it.
No, but anyway, you did,
right? Because anytime those father-son scenes come up, I get choked up because my dad passed away almost 20 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah,
I had a real close relationship to him. So, as soon as like the treehouse stuff, I'm like, oh, God.
Yeah.
I'm like, kids, don't look at me. Come on.
Hey, put a pin in that dad thing for after show. I got something for you. But but what was the rest of the movie? What did you think?
Oh, I loved it. It was a great movie. And my kids know nothing about Nintendo.
Yeah.
They played Super Mario on our Wii occasionally, but they knew nothing about it. And they were sucked in. Oh, yeah.
Hayden had so many questions.
Yeah. My kids are like, what does this look like? I'm like, you know that game Retro Bowl? Worse than that, but was still awesome.
Which your cousin's addicted to.
Yeah, he's absolutely. He's got it. That's his personality. Steve Zahn, though, was like the whole movie, like.
He was whereas I can't think of the guy that plays him. He's the bad guy in The Natural, but he's the good guy. He's the dad in Christmas Story.
Yeah.
Whereas he's kind of the gruff, gets mad all the time. Steve Zahn's the busybody, lovable guy.
Yeah.
He's mad, though. Like, he's mad. Like,
yeah.
Super pissed and he's got to go to the store.
It's funny, the whole house thing and how they wrap that up. Yeah. It's so good.
He gets the sander for Christmas and like, can you stop doing that?
Yeah. It was super
happy. What'd you buy for me?
Yeah. Super happy for
him. Like when he makes his kid pick up dog shit in the snow? I do that.
Yeah.
That was a clever I'm not gonna spoil
I was about
scene.
To go, Will, get out there and do it now.
And I'm not gonna spoil that scene for go behind even the stuff behind the thing.
Yeah.
But what I want to do though is let's give this movie a review, because we don't often do that in the Throw It to Missy section. But I love the movie. But Bender, I'll let you start.
I'd say it's a solid 4 out of 5. It was a good Christmas movie.
I'm gonna give it a 4 out of 5 too. Yeah. Whereas A Christmas Story is probably a 5 out of 5. You know, it's classic.
Yeah.
This movie was so good that I could see us watching it every year.
Yeah, I could watch it every year.
This could be my kid's Christmas Story.
Yeah, it could be.
Because the timing and everything is right.
I understand wanting a BB gun as growing up. Yeah. I understand wanting a BB gun. Yeah. And my kids understand wanting a video game system.
Yep.
And both things were kind of a little bit outdated when we both experienced them. So,
yeah,
it's awesome. So, if there's nothing else, though, we'll park this goddamn horse. Nothing else?
Nope, I'm good.
There is no one to say let's go Blues, but you can say,
hold on to your butts.
Bye.
Jay wowed them.
Yeah.
He just wows them every time. We're going to play the music. And that's it. That's it.